Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Off to see the wizard. The wonderful wizard of Duro.
Where?
Duro.
Duro, County Leash.
When's the last time you were in Duro?
I
had the worst meal of my life in Ballyragget.
Ballyragget?
The worst meal of your life?
In Ballyragget.
Is it possible? I thought that it was just
about 14 years ago, I was walking from Duro to Kilkenny. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. About 20 mile.
Yes.
Pulled into Ballyragget for the Sunday lunch. And it was like walking into the front room of someone's house. And it was like farmers who lived alone.
Carvery.
Yeah, but it wasn't really a carvery. It was more like just someone making a few bob on the side. But anyway, Duro. Tell me about Duro.
Duro is probably Ireland's answer to Antique Central, isn't it? It's a mecca for antique dealers, lounge pubs.
Why did Duro come to your head?
Tight little streets. I don't
Here's
know.
Your health, by the way.
Sláinte.
Sláinte.
Cheers.
Sláinte. Duro. When you come in from Galway into Duro, you come in and there's...
That's not possible.
When you come into Galway...
That's not possible.
I love... See, if
do you mean from like...
From Atlone? Where?
So from in my
that's like saying,
in my mind...
That's like saying, as you come into Birmingham from Tuam.
Yeah, so in my mind, as you come in from Galway into Duro, isn't that a lovely way to think of it? Everywhere you start your destination, you're coming in from there. So if I come into Duro, I come into the top of the town, and there's a little green area there. And in Duro, every year, they have a quilt festival or something where they make quilts out of stuff and they hang quilts everywhere.
Quilty, County Clare.
Or dolls or something. Come down into the town, turn right, you can go straight up into the castle, or you can turn left to go into these little windy little streets full of antique shops. That's Duro.
When were you there?
I stayed in Duro Castle for Bruce Springsteen.
Where was he playing? Slaying.
Bruce was playing in Nolan Park. I told you that. The VIP.
In Kilkenny, so
yeah,
you stayed?
And so
I wouldn't
they
have you.
They turned the Stephenites GA pitch into
in
the, into the in the is it not the
James G- Stevens
James Stevens into the VIP club Aiken Promotions.
I wouldn't have had you down as a Springsteen fan.
Of course, Roscoe is the mad Springsteen fan, and I had promised them that we'd do something. So
Dancing in the Dark.
Yeah,
I'm on fire.
The whole lot.
Hey, you little girl, is your daddy?
The whole lot. So we stayed.
Really?
Yeah, and we got a minibus in and out of Duro Castle, and we had a great time at Bruce Springsteen about 5 years ago. Told you that.
And
story.
Did you sing along? Did you dance?
Did you get involved, like? Or did you stay?
No, I stood at the bar at the back and talked GAA with everybody. I was right up the front with Declan McDonagh. And,
who's Declan McDonagh?
The jockey. The jockey. Kevin Manning.
I've never heard of him.
I've told you this story on the podcast.
Tell it again.
I've never heard
of it. No, but I told you this.
We had
a minibus in and out of the castle. Oh. And then when we got there, we had these tickets because we know people in people and people in power.
People in power.
We know people in Aiken power. And we were backstage in the bar, and then Peter Aiken gave me a phone number to ring when I want a drink at whoever time. And this girl...
Why was he being so nice to you?
Yeah.
Hang on a second, because Peter is a good...
How is he giving you free drinks?
Peter Aiken is a good man.
Great man.
And
yes.
His dad was a big, big... His dad was a big, big fan of the shows from years ago. And I remember I had to make...
His dad was a big fan of...
My shows.
Which, the Hector Travelling Around the World.
Yes.
And the Hector with Horses.
Which ones?
In particular, a show I did in French Guiana with the French Foreign Legion guy. So I had to make duplicate copies of that show about 20 years ago for Peter Aiken's dad and send him a load of VHSs on that show. So he remembered that.
What do you remember of the French Foreign Legion guy?
He was from Mayo. He left Westport at 18 years of age and he never returned. And now I met him when he was 43. He was in French Guiana. He was a seriously high up a commander in the French.
What was his name?
Can't give his names out. You don't give any information regarding the Legion.
Oh, but he was on the telly.
Yeah, his name.
Yeah. But apart from that,
yeah, but like apart from that, he's anonymous.
He's from Westport, and everybody in Westport will know who he is.
In the French Foreign Legion, you when you go in there, you become
you just lose
your name. You just lose your name. You are nothing but a number, a serial number. Fergal is his first name.
Fergal 6852.
Fergal, yes. So he had left and he had travelled the world. He speaking French fluently. He owned a house in France and a house in South America. And the French Foreign Legion was his life. And he was training.
I'd say Roscoe would be half in love with that.
Oh, yeah, right up there. Right up there. I asked him who was the toughest in the world. Was it the Green Berets, the SAS, or the French Foreign Legion? And he said, put it like this, the rest of them will get dropped in by helicopter, we'll walk in and we'll walk out again. The French Foreign Legion, have you ever seen any of the documentaries on them?
No. Someone with Laurel and Hardy in it.
did they join the French Foreign Legion?
Yeah, of course they did, yeah. They were shot at Dawn.
Well, that's a fine mess you got me into, Stan. The French Foreign Legion is mental stuff. Like, they bring you off to the Sahara and you're training there for 7 months and it's just up out of bed at 4 a.m. in the heat. And he says, see that big lump of stones over there? Just move them stones about 5 yards over here and don't question me.
Yeah.
And just do it. And 8 hours later, still moving stones. It's just, look, I don't know how much you could push the human body or the mind, but
discipline. You're mad for discipline, mad for order, mad for adventure.
Just like the Irish Army, so.
Just like the Irish Army. Listen, when
the Irish Army are
picking stones,
picking their holes, lying around the barracks in that lawn.
Now, Roscoe,
with on the Boyle Sports app. That's what the Irish Army are at. Fuck off, French Foreign Legion. Down to Baguettes for a baguette.
Roscoe did the Irish version of Who Dares Win.
You'd be good on that, Tommy.
Was
that
the one where they SAS Who Dares Wins?
And they make them cry on the television.
Yeah, so that's Hell Week. So he said that the Irish Rangers that were there were pretty hardy bastards. Like, we do have an elite wing of the Irish Army called the Irish Rangers.
No, we have an elite wing of the Irish Army called Noel McDonough. That's it. That's it. He's one fella, lives on his own up a mountain in Sligo, mad for fitness and guns. He's the elite wing. Fuck's sake, there's one
he's
of them.
He's called in case.
There's fucking chicken
in
wings.
In case of an emergency.
No, I think there's
five
more
or six. Chicken wings than fucking elite wings.
So
buffalo wings.
So these boys, Roscoe, I said to him, I said, what are the Irish Rangers like? And he said, they are the real deal. I said,
what do they do?
Yeah.
But you see, the elite boys don't have to say what they do. They're elite. They're elite. But I said to Roscoe, comparing it to the boys on SAS, Channel 4, he said they're right up there.
But what do they do? Like, if in what situation would we have to call as a country?
It's like you can call the Gardaí.
Yeah, well, we know what they
do. And then when the boys come in, the rapid response boys.
Yeah, we
know
them.
And then the lads get up another level, and then there's another level.
Yeah.
Irish Rangers are just another level.
What do they do?
But in what
they are
case
called
would you
in
bring
for
them out?
Serious situations.
What kind of ones have we ever
say, for example,
for?
There was an issue in the dome in Bacon where somebody got locked into the dome and the Gardaí couldn't get in.
Drop them out of the sky.
You will bring in the Rangers.
To rescue a 4-year-old who can't find his mother.
The Irish Rangers is so elite.
Do they shoot
we don't
people?
Know what. Of course they do, but these guys have all seen action. They've all. They're elite.
But are they hanging around Ireland or do we send them somewhere else?
But what does the word elite mean to you? Do you not understand? If you're an elite athlete, your man Whiffen, 1800 or 1500 metre, we've world champion in the pool now, a young lad called Whiffen.
But they're not sprinters.
He's an elite. Whiffen the elite.
Yeah, but we're not sending them out running and doing competitions like boxing and stuff. What are
but
they
you
doing?
See, the elite, you don't really know what elite people do because they're at that level. They're elite. He's a ranger.
So we don't even know people who are rangers.
I'm sure they call them in when there is the need for serious.
Say there was a kidnapping.
Military.
Yeah. A kidnapping.
A serious
and there was
incident.
A shootout in like in a Tesco in Mullingar or something.
Yeah, and then they'd have to walk from Mullingar to Cork with the hostage on their backs. That's when you bring in the elite boys.
The
Rangers are different. They're different gravy. They will.
They can climb through nets and
yeah,
stuff.
They're the elite military operators of the world. The Green Berets in America, SAS in England.
And the Irish ones are called the
Irish Rangers.
Oh, yeah.
And at the end of Hell Week, Roscoe had filmed that the boys were so much into him that, do you know what they did? They said to Roscoe, at the end of it.
So the boys were into Roscoe?
They were into Roscoe.
What do you mean they were into
Roscoe? Because they saw the limits Roscoe pushes himself. Like, I have images, I have pictures of Roscoe hanging off a 6,000 metre mountain on a canopy for 5 hours waiting for a shot. and it's a complete sheer drop of about a mile down, and he's just waiting for the shot.
Yeah.
I have him hanging off bridges.
Upside down with the camera.
Yeah, camera. He's mad into pushing boundaries. So at the end...
He did the Marathon de Sable.
Yes,
he?
He's just into all that, like suspended.
So he'd be a ranger if he was in the army.
He wants to be a ranger, you see. And then right. at the end of it...
Too late now.
I said to him, how good are these boys? He said, they're tough. They're fucking tough. Don't mess with the Irish Rangers. And then the lead Irish Ranger called him over on the last day of shooting and put his hand on his shoulder. And he went, strong, Roscoe.
Strong. That's funny now, because that's exactly what happened with you and
the Dublin footballer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. And is he in the Rangers?
Is that the same story, but you've just changed some of the characters?
He said to Roscoe, strong, Roscoe, strong.
And does that mean you're allowed into the Rangers?
No, he gave him something.
Secret code.
He gave him something. And Roscoe...
Viagra.
No, he gave him something.
Spinach.
And Roscoe takes it out in the airport when we're always getting on a plane. He goes,
a medal.
Remember, if we get on this flight, I'm a ranger now. And I said, no, you're not a ranger. He said, I'm a ranger now.
Are they good on planes, rangers?
Yeah, but they would be the likes, they could manhandle anybody. They'll just...
My sound man did that coming back from America, and he's not a ranger.
He is now.
Yeah, man.
That actually happened. So that's a situation that actually happened. Where remember the story?
Yeah.
And the fella was acting the maggot and he was trying to open the door.
Yes.
And Darren, who does sound for me, never been on Hell Week, never been given special
or told he was
squeezes.
Strong.
Never been called an elite sound
no.
man.
No, strong. You just got your man and said, you fucking stay there now and show up or I'll box the fucking head off you. Sorted.
So that, but there's potential there for him to be an elite sound
man. Too late, man. He's 54.
He's elite.
Join the Rangers.
Your man didn't. Roscoe was there going, I don't know what he was going to do. I thought he was going to give me his jacket. Was he going to?
But what did he give him?
Was he going to bring him into one of the rooms and initiate
sodomize
him with the rest of the Rangers? What was he going to do? Was he going to give him a stamp on his passport? Was he going to say,
if
you ever need help from us, here's my number. He was there going, what is he going to do?
And what did
he? So he called him over and then he takes out his wallet. And inside the wallet...
Gave him 20 euro.
There was 3 coins. But they're special elite ranger coins. And they've got the harp on one...
Sorry, it sounds like
a child. They've got the harp on one side.
Right.
And then they've got the logo of the Rangers.
Oh, right. But what does that do for...
So only...
Let him get to the end of the story.
Only Rangers, Irish Rangers, are allowed to carry these.
Oh, my God.
And he took one out and he said, it took me 9 years to get my first one and here is for you.
He just gave him
He gave him an elite Irish Ranger coin. So he is now in with the Rangers.
Is it gold?
And Roscoe is elite. So when he takes it out, like, I'd be there going, that is mad. You are a Ranger now, Ross. And
he's
he is so proud of it.
He's not a Ranger, actually. He was given...
An honorary Ranger.
He impressed the Rangers. They looked at him and went, there's a fellow traveller. And one of them said, here's a coin to make me feel important and to make you feel chosen.
Mm. An elite coin an elite Ranger.
Does it save you? Like, if
well, he just he takes it out and he shows it to me.
Would he get into coppers with it and stuff?
Yeah, but always remember, I'm travelling with elite Irish Ranger cameraman now. And Roscoe is one of those. Roscoe is a hardy bastard.
Okay, never mind Roscoe now.
They spotted the hardy bastard.
Never mind Roscoe now.
So that was in Duro, yeah. Aiken Promotions.
You were watching.
Oh yeah,
You were watching the boy lifting the rocks in the show.
Oh yes, I was.
And speaking of, because I was thinking that is something that you might throw your head into now. Would you be a rock lifter?
So this is the lad that was on the chat show.
Yeah.
What is his name? And did you look at his surname? David Keoghan.
Oh yeah, he's one of the brood.
The chosen people.
He's one of the brood, but yeah. He spells a H instead of the G. So he calls it Dane Keoghan.
Like Barry.
Barry, yeah.
No, Barry Keoghan is K-O-G-N. He's one of ours.
Yeah.
But David now will be another one of the tribe. Okay. So he's Keoghan.
Geez, you're some family.
Is he Keoghan or Keoghan?
He's Keoghan, but I think it's spelled wrong. It should be K-E-O-G-A-N. I'm going to talk to him about that.
Spelled his name wrong.
David Keoghan, the lifter. Amazing man.
Would you try it? You would try it, would you?
I would, yeah. Because he puts his arms around it. And he grips it. And you've seen him, Indiana Stones. And amazing. It's just fucking power. And to let the wind in underneath it. What a beautiful...
The guisair.
The free wind.
Does it release the...
Releases the... I don't know what it releases. It just releases the currents around the parish. But he was a lovely man.
But that would be a good thing for you to... Because you're doing all this weight training. That would be a good practical thing for you to put your training towards. His body has changed... Fiercely in the last 3 or 4 years.
He's a big man.
He was ordinary like me. an ordinary kind of...
Toby was like... Yeah,
but he's an elite...
He was ordinary.
He's an elite stone lifter.
But now he's put years and years and years into the weights and training, and now he's a block of a man. And I'm thinking that you could be that. Would you like to be that? The stone lifter of Clare Galway.
I'd have to practice. I'd have to...
But it would suit you.
But I'd have to go out the back. I'd have to go out the back and I'd have to get the Carla Kosengas, the orange Carla Kosengas bottle, and I'd put my arms around the bottle of Carla Kosengas, a full bottle, and I'd just go... Lift it.
Yeah. Instead of doing... I know you love being in the gym and the weights and the lads and telling each other poems and stuff like that and watching what people are doing, but imagine taking it out of the gym into the Fenian countryside.
I'd love it, yeah. He was in Knockdoe recently and there's a stone near Lydens in Knockdoe that he lifted and that's where I came across him. Funnily enough, 4 weeks before he arrived to sit on your chat show, I started following him on Twitter. He gets into the car and he speaks a bit of Irish. I got a call from a lad here in Uachtarard and I'm on my way to lift a stone. I'm on my way to Edgeworthstown. It's fucking incredible, isn't it?
But it's also the way the parish, like Yvonne was as blown away and as moved by that interview as by any other one, in the sense that, here's a modern 21st century woman who works as a psychotherapist, you know, she's kind of and she could see the reason for it. She could understand the parish gathering around and there'd been a roar going up when the stone was lifted and the kind of the whatever energies that when the strong man is able to lift the strong stone, it does something for the village. Never mind fucking winning BAFTAs, been nominated for Oscars. Lift the fucking stone,
there's a man.
You strong cunt. Lift it, you bastard, you. That's like hurling.
Yeah, it's in the DNA. It's
just
strength.
Something savage and Irish about it.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, and like the story he told about the Aran Islands when he went out to lift, when he went out to lift the stone and
the flower to stone.
I said it to Dipton. I said, "Well, come on, we'll go back." She goes, "No, thank you." I says, "We'll go out to see the stone. We will go and see the stone." But like, it's that Celtic, that swell of Celtic love,
yes.
And there's an undercurrent, or there's a surge at the moment through the land and through people of their Celticness. And it was his Waterford accent as well. Yeah. There's something.
He was pure, just kind of country. That's not the accent. Now he was using, but
no, hang on now, Teo. I'd be mixing paint now tomorrow morning. I'll be in mixing.
Is he in Aslan? Is he?
No, hang on. Give him Teo
laps. Teo.
I'd be mixing paint now in the morning. Tommy, I'm just a simple man. And there, I lift and stones.
He spoke slower than that. He had a more of a country timbre.
And when you get the way he's there underneath the phone, so I'm. Yeah. But he knew his stuff. Like
Dustin.
It's getting worse, actor.
Yeah, but he was the most amazing.
I think it'd be a great thing to do in Operation Transformation.
Get them all lifting stones.
No, get your man to lift one of them.
No, what about...
Wouldn't that be Breda? He comes in.
Right, Breda. Breda, today, last week you... Breda, last week you weighed 100...
Well, here's David from Waterford, he's going to lift you.
And then he comes in the jocks with his tattoos on the dacia and a picture of the fucking water.
Lift Breda.
Okay, last week, Breda, you were 92 kilos. Oh. And here comes David, puts the arm around on midriff. Okay, go get Breda now. Go get Breda. Here we go, we get the air underneath you now.
The free wind under her.
Okay, Breda, and a 1, 2, 3.
She's down there in the lycra.
The lycra ski pants. And your man, the psychiatrist with the glasses. Operation Transformate, the way in. And there's Dave. Then you have the other guy going, if you're at home now and sitting on the couch, grab a bottle and do this for the fucking ad break.
Oh my God.
Oh, magnificent.
Oh, I have no words. Oh dear.
What a fucking brilliant.
He'd have his head up our hole.
Stop it now. Just stop.
That was great, but the wind underneath you, Breda. Go get. Oh no, he was excellent though. He was excellent. And your man spoke brilliantly about getting the finger up the bum, and then the consultant's finger didn't say much, and he did
the spot stretch.
It's not the finger that knows everything. And he was a really interesting, nice man.
Tell me this now. Do you think, I was thinking about chats, and do you think people have good conversations?
Depending on. Not a lot of people don't.
A lot of people don't have good chats.
No, I don't. They keep it very vague and...
and short.
Yeah. But if you ask questions and you're genuinely interested in someone, then you can have a really good conversation.
Isn't it a strange thing? Sometimes, I remember years ago when being like travelling the country on buses. And sometimes you could have a really intimate conversation with somebody on a bus. Yeah. Like you're sitting shoulder to shoulder from Cashel to Cork.
Because there's duration.
Yeah, and you knew that you were both getting out in Cork Station. But I was just thinking about the general level of chat in the country. Like, are people just wary? So are there people in your lives that you can have startling, adventurous conversations with? Apart from whatever happens here and the privilege of the platform, are there, in other situations in your life, are there, like, I get it on the chat show, but it's never really about me. It's never me divulging stuff. It's me allowing, it's about allowing your curiosity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And allowing your, not putting any smocked on your curiosity, of just letting it gallop and trusting it. Mm-hmm. But are there
you need to have two people in the conversation. If you're having a conversation with two people, both of you have to be open to having the conversation.
Is that the idea behind marriage? Is that the two of you can fucking, you know, or is it, can marriages handle that, or is it better in friendships? Or
I think it can work across. I think you can have it in all sorts of conversations. Like, you can, again, you could. I always found the train was the best place to have conversation, because you're sitting across from someone, or you're, and you've. I've had really interesting conversations with people down through the years, but I find like I'm always asking people questions when I'm talking to them, especially people when you meet them for the first time. You know, like I met this doctor on the way home from Dublin one day who was from Castlereagh, and. He was telling me about, you know, the amount of people who have HIV, you know, in today's society. And then that girl was on your show a few weeks ago as well. Or, you know, like, you can have really, if you're open to asking questions and you're interested in listening to the answers and the person is interested in talking to you.
But you've got to be in the right, you've got to be face to face, or you've been in a comfortable situation where there's no other distraction.
You've got to ask questions.
So finding that space.
How many times have we been locked? Like, I mean locked.
Yeah.
And you're sitting beside someone and you just open the doors and you just tell them, and you've only met them that evening.
Mm.
And I'm not sure. I'm fucking hate this fucking. And you open up completely. So is that part of the way that we do it in Ireland? That you get, we've all been in that situation, haven't we? Where we just, when you're hammered, you just fucking. And it could be a stranger.
Yeah.
Well, probably easier with strangers.
And you flow it all out. But does it happen often enough in our, like, I guess I'm talking about conversations that give you sustenance.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
and
like
energy.
Even people who are around us all the time, do we have deep and meaningful conversations with, say, our parents or our siblings?
Sons.
Like you have kind of just, there's stock questions and there's general stuff. Yes. Well, how's things? Yep. What's the crack? Yep. Blah, 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 blah.
It's short. Then, short.
Yeah, it's short conversations, and it's, I suppose once you get to know somebody very well, whether it's your brothers, your sisters, or your friends, you sort of have usual conversation.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Conversations. So sometimes it's easier having conversations with somebody you don't know. Whether that's at the airport or on an aeroplane, that's another place where you can really get
okay.
stuck
so
in.
So what's the longest? Hang on, what's the longest conversation I've had with my children or my sons, my young men? When you think about that, I haven't.
Do you even really know them that well? Other than having
a conversation, how long should a conversation? But there should be no end to a conversation. It should be 3 minutes or 33 minutes. I find my conversations are in the car because that's a quiet time. There's only two people there. And you can have those conversations. We just don't have the situations as much as we used to have conversations.
So, I think I might have asked this before, but say, pick a person in your life that you know, right? And let's start with fathers, okay? So we have two fathers alive and one father gone to the far side. If there was one question you could ask your father, if there was one fucking question you could ask your father, doesn't have to be like, did you love me? It doesn't have to be like that. But if there was one, and just think of all the people in your life, and the one question I'd ask my father is, where did you meet? If I could ask my father one question, it would be, what did you think when you met me mother? That's what I'd ask him. What did you think
that moment
when you threw eyes on this one and she had an Irish accent and the two of you were in London and she had a kind of a Clonmel and she was pretty? What did you think when you saw her?
Mm.
What went through you?
Exactly.
Head? What went through
I'd say
head?
He'd paint a great picture.
But if you were to ask one question of Dad,
jeez,
now.
That stuff now.
One question.
I mean,
he's floored there. How about the mother? Yeah. One question of the mother.
For me, I'd ask my father. I would ask my father to tell me about his brothers and sisters and his father. I never found out, as you know, the Keoghans, I wouldn't be great in family, family trees and names of people and all that.
Hang on, you're after claiming fucking Barry and David here as part of the tribe.
Yeah, but that's a spreading of that. That I'm in.
Aunts and uncles.
I would have loved to sat me dad and go, Dad, tell me about your brothers. Tell me about years ago when you were small and tell me about your father.
What do you
Dickie,
know of them?
Dickie Keoghan.
What do you know of them?
I know very little. I don't have any of that, Tommy. I don't know what it is about us.
Where are they
are
placed?
They all spread out? But I want to know about when the old farmhouse was there.
Where was that?
That was in Knockumber where there was a farm and Nana Keoghan was there and Dickie Keoghan. And I want to know about the Keoghans and the
What did Dickie do?
Dickie was a farmer.
But how old was Dickie when he died?
I don't know, you see. I don't know these stories. I'd ask me Dad, tell me your story. Tell me about his mum, his dad, his life, his child. When he was young, what was it like? Tell me about everything around the farmyard. Because I don't have any of that.
Your father was born in the, say, 41 or something, was he? 40, 41, 40.
Was it 30s?
What, the 30s?
I don't know. Was it 40s? I was born.
Well, yeah, he'd be in his 80s,
would he? Yeah, he'd be in his 80s, yeah. So,
I don't have any stories. I don't have any photographs. I don't have anything of the old farmhouse. I don't have anything. It's vague to me. I don't have anything of that.
So you have nothing of that?
I don't have any memory. I don't have any stories.
And are any of the uncles and aunts still in it?
They are, but I tried last year. I went out to Anne and Tony, Auntie Anne, which is my father's sister, and I sat with them for a while and I started gathering a little bit more of the family tree, but I feel there's a little bit of a gap there, and that's what my father, if I had my father sitting in for a pint in Greica or in Dundery or in Robinstown over a few pints of stout, I said, Dad, tell me about when you were young, and then he would open up and then he'd enrich my body with those memories, so I would enrich myself.
Loretta?
I kind of maybe would like to know about did they ever really like sleep with other people or like when the people in their 80s now, would they have like I think then you would.
Just you're the queer one. You are the queer one.
There's us going.
I asked you that question about three weeks ago and you were shut up like a handbag.
No, I know that, but I.
Did you ever sleep with someone, Dad?
Yeah, you wouldn't ask them that. You wouldn't ask them that.
How old was your father when you got married?
Well, see, my father chased my mother for a long time. She lived in England and she wouldn't come home, and he used to be writing her letters and she was keeping him on the long finger for a good while. So
that sounds very sexy.
She was putting him on the long finger.
So he was like in his late 30s before he got married.
Oh, yeah. So the question is, was it
that was late back then?
Yeah.
So the question would be, would that have been the first time?
Yeah.
When on the wedding night, would that have been...
Where was the wedding?
Would that have been ride one?
Yeah, would like...
Where did they get married, Loretta?
They got married in Knockmore.
And where was the function?
In the Railway Hotel in Ballina, which is no longer there, but it was...
And would you ever... Would Joe, the brother, like, would you feel awkward? Maybe you'd feel awkward asking Dad. Dad, who...
Joe, my brother, would feel even at the kitchen more table. Awkward asking him.
Dad, have you ever... Who'd you sleep with before you met me mother?
Well, you get a frying pan across the top of the head.
You don't get anything. Yeah, you wouldn't ask them that. But, like, I mean, nowadays... People sleep with people like easy enough. Like it's not a.
Sure. So when your parents got married, when in the 60s?
Yeah, they
late
would
60s.
Yeah.
Late 60s. Yeah, flower power.
Oh yeah.
I wish they all could be Californian girls.
Wouldn't that kind of stuff be interesting?
Riders on the storm. You may be sure that your father was putting on the Doors live at the Rose Bowl
in the car park of Kilpatrick in a Renault Ford.
They had to cycle to places then. They didn't have cars then. They would have been cycling places. Cycling to dances, and you know, like the church was so influential then, and you couldn't, like, I don't know,
different times,
those kind of questions you wouldn't ask them.
So what your concern would be, like, if you said, I know my daughters now, if they
would, they ask you,
yeah, they'd ask me,
would you answer them?
I would not.
Exactly. You see,
imagine your daughter saying that,
bang to the
imagine
back.
That
what,
Dad?
What, so the question would be, what, pretend I'm your father now, Loretta, and ask, I want you to hear you phrasing the question.
What age is your daughter?
No, Loretta is herself.
Dad.
What age is Loretta?
I am the same age as I am now.
Okay, go there for it. And I'm Brendan Blewett.
Yeah.
And I'm there. I'm watching the telly. I've had the cup of coffee.
What day of the week
heartbeat.
Is it?
She's what? Watching what Heartbeat.
I'm watching Heartbeat. Mad for a bit of Heartbeat.
Is it 6:30 in the evening?
Yeah.
No, it's the afternoon.
Oh, about 4.
Yeah, okay, Today Show's on.
No, it's Heartbeat. You don't listen Heartbeat, sometimes.
Well. Yeah. Not the Today Show. He doesn't like the Today Show. He likes Heartbeat.
He's right too, isn't
go
he?
On, then.
So, Dad, any news?
No, none at all. Now, just watching Heartbeat. I've seen this one before, but I still don't know how it ends.
He doesn't have an accent. So, tell me, I was just thinking there the other day.
Huh?
I was, yeah, he always.
Will you put another drop of brandy in that, Loretta? Thank you.
He always says that. What?
Huh?
I was thinking.
Is that rain outside? Is that rain? Rain. When is Joe coming round later?
Yes. Did you?
My Joe, no, not your Joe.
Yeah, yeah, he is.
Is he coming round later?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He lives here, Dad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he lives here. Dad.
Why is Hector knocking at the door? Spoiling the story.
Hector's coming in. What do you have to say?
Fucking the Avon ladies at the front selling perfume.
Well, the Tupperware woman.
I didn't do the sound effects. Keep going.
Yeah. Hector, he doesn't live in the shed.
Fuck's sake, there's a squally calf at the back.
What the hell, Hector?
That's a scary calf.
Yeah, we don't have any calves anymore. Anyway, so, Dad, I was thinking there recently about, sort of a life did you have, like, before you met Mum? Like, did you ever meet, like, I know you had a few girlfriends and stuff, but, like, did you ever, like, kind of get intimate with them or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, plenty of that.
What kind of stuff?
Orgies.
Stop.
There would have been a big orgy.
Of course you'd have to go AWOL on the story.
Yeah. There would have been a few of us in it now. We'd meet every Friday.
Where?
Night. What?
Where?
Down, Joe, the waterworks down there where the Moy goes into the sea. We'd be on Benzedrine. Benzedrine tablets. We'd be up all night. We'd be riding each other like goats.
Huh? That's the kind of conversation.
I rode a young one with hooves one time. She said she came from Sligo. Hooves she had.
You can't have a conversation with you. You're not nowhere near normal.
Oh, that was the one thing that impressed me most about your mother. She had normal feet. I was tired of riding young with hooves from Enniscrone and Lahey.
Okay, Dad, just I'm going again. I'm leaving you there.
So do you think your father would have dallied? if you're guessing.
But that's what I don't
I know. I know for a fact that both my parents had other lovers. No, for a fact.
But lovers, or were
during
they actually...
the whole thing.
Intimate. Not during the marriage, but before they met one another.
But
oh,
what's
yeah.
wrong with that? What's wrong with what?
There's nothing wrong with it. We're just asking.
There's nothing wrong with it.
That's completely normal.
Why are you so defensive?
No,
why are you so defensive?
Was it normal, Hector, then, in the 80s?
I don't see why this is so contentious.
In the 50s. It's not contentious. Are you missing the point?
Yeah, so what did I ask Rita? What question would you like to ask your father? And she said, I'd like to ask.
I'm saying...
It's not such a big
revelation. If somebody asked you now, you probably did. And Tommy probably
did. Good-looking young men around Ireland in the 50s and 60s and good-looking young women and meeting at crossroads and going to dances and high
Nellies. But you weren't allowed to
have sex. Ah, but they were at it all the time. They were riding like banjos and bunnies.
But then you'd have to go to the church and...
We think we're so fucking... What was it like back then? What was it like back then? It was a lot simpler. It was a lot easier. Over the back of a wall, the high Nelly, and away you went.
You look that way, I look this way.
So,
and the head over the wall.
That's so it, you think it was just a norm.
Like Barry Geary, going down the hill at Cheltenham.
So you think it was
Father Flavin is coming, he's about a mile away.
Not long now, not long now. Not long, they're not living above the brownie of back. Quickly.
Hello, Father.
But what would you ask your father?
I told you that when he saw me mother for the first time, what did he think?
Sure, he must have thought it was the best thing ever. Sure.
See, we don't know, Larissa. We don't know these things.
Yeah, if I had him back, that's what I'd ask him. Because, I'd like to fill that
What would you like to be asked?
What would I like to be asked?
Yeah. Because you're very,
By who? By
your parents, if they were.
By your parents.
By your parents?
If your mother,
If she got up from the grave.
What would she say now?
She'd say...
What would she say?
She wouldn't be well. She wouldn't be well if she got up.
Obviously.
I'm out of here.
Come on, what would you like to be asked by somebody
by who?
Close to you?
Would you love if your mum, if I could give you one more day with your mother?
No, I would not. I would not.
What? Because 1 hour?
No, thank
you. Sitting in the front car with a coffee in your hand and your mother sitting beside you.
And you could ask
her. Can I bait her?
Tommy, stop.
Tommy, please.
Can I bait the head of her?
Tommy, no.
Hang on, let's see if he can ask.
No, you wouldn't like to bait my mother. You would not bait my mother. That's your reaction. But you're asking me. I would rather. Oh, Jesus. No, I would have no interest in meeting my mother.
No interest. Ask the questions. I want to know the questions
yes.
that you'd like to be asked. By
who? Name the person.
Okay, by your oldest son.
By my oldest son, I would like to be asked. Oh, fuck, that's a tough one now. He's 30, has a child of his own. What would I like him to ask me?
No, what about your father? What would you like your father to ask
I'm tired of this game.
You were the one that brought it up.
What would your father ask you?
What would your father ask you as grown men now?
I can't think of anything that I'd like to be asked. I find that way too uncomfortable. Hector, maybe you might take it out from here on.
Good job, you're sitting on the other side of the couch.
Over to Hector now. Over Hector. You answer this one now.
All I'm trying to do is visualise me father in a pub with me somewhere in a...
She's after spoiling this game, isn't she? We were having loads of crack lifting fat people on Operation Transformation. Now,
you're not half as much crack now.
No.
Fuck off.
Mind your own business, Larissa.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. The fucking...
What would you like me to ask you? I'll ask you a question.
Jeez, I don't feel right. This is awful.
I can't. Where are we?
Where
now?
Are you?
When as if I'm back did you first?
Oh no! Shut up with the questions. Anyway, I have something I want to talk.
Oh no! Can I? Let's just round this up a little bit. We start on conversations, and we don't give each other time. We don't have those moments for conversation. I don't think as much as we should. Normal chats, and which makes me think.
But some people don't.
What am I going to do? Sitting me two boys down on the couch. Well, lads, we'll have a chat.
You meant to ask me.
Ask me anything.
Angela Scanlon, ask me anything.
Dad, ask me anything. No, but some people don't like getting too deep and meaningful questions. And some people don't like you could say to someone, how are you really? How are you? Do you want to know the answer? And... does the person want to tell you?
Yeah.
I think you have to be in that.
It just if the moment comes up.
I've had some of the greatest conversations in my life with Roscoe at the emergency exit on a 10 or 12 hour flight.
Yes.
Because then you're in that zone. Like if you're in an, if you know, you have
would
to
you get deep and meaningful with
yeah,
them?
Of course, yeah. We know each other like fucking
intimately.
Yeah, but that you're in that area where you have to talk. There's two people. You have to have that conversation. We just don't allow ourselves that space in modern life. At
yes.
the moment. And we do, and it's allowed.
And here's Dexy's been at runners. Come on, Eileen.
And it's allowed on the chat show because you got 15 minutes with somebody there to be fucking within a
to
minute.
Allow your curiosity
within,
to
within a minute to be telling you about putting somebody, finger up your bum.
Somebody yeah. should come on and ask you questions for one of your guests should be now, Tommy. So what first attracted you to, you know, sort of
imagine
like,
if Yvonne comes on to interview Tommy.
Gets really deep with you. You'd hate that. Then you couldn't go anywhere as well. You'd have to sit there.
So I guess you, but you have to, because the guests are so open, you'd have to return the compliment.
Yeah. Like that's, you'd be struggling.
That
there.
You'd have to be as open as they are.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have a problem with this, I don't think.
Well, except you couldn't ask a question. One question. You couldn't answer one question.
That was a very
when
difficult question, Arisa.
Yeah, but that's how things get are difficult.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's magnificent conversation, and we hope you enjoyed it. God bless and good luck.